Next on The Balanced Word.
If you didn't think that the Bible was important, but you see that here God is telling us that if we really dig into this word and we study it and we live by it, we start to do the stuff that it says, you will find out that your days are better and you will have more of them and you'll be walking in peace and living in peace. So that's a pretty good start on why it's worth having the Bible being a part of your life.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Maybe you've noticed each and every day at The Balanced Word, we open the Word of God and seek to apply what we're learning in order to live the sort of balanced lives God wants for us. And maybe you've wondered, why is the Bible so important to us? Why not study something else at times? Well, as we'll discover today, there are many wonderful benefits to taking in a steady dose of the Word and applying it. It truly leads to smarter living. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe in the Proverbs.
It's great to be here with you today. Good to see you and look forward to seeing what God's going to do as we look into His Word. That's always a pleasure. You know, there are a lot of people who just wonder, why do you make such a big deal about the Bible? You know, for many of us, we carry our Bibles, we bring them with us. You already, during the service, read through a psalm and maybe going, come on, what is that all about? A lot of people actually criticize churches that make too big of a deal out of the Bible. And there was a guy who used to say, oh, Calvary Chapel, their Trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Bible, because they thought that we put the Bible above the Holy Spirit. But for a lot of people, it's like, what's so special about that book? Why do you make such a big deal about it? And this morning, we're going to look at just some of the reasons why the Bible is so important to us. We're going through this year through the book of Proverbs. And by the way, every week we approach God's Word. It's the center of what we do. There are other things that we could center church on. Plenty of people do. But for us, it's what does the Bible say? Well, this year we're going through the book of Proverbs and figuring out how to live smarter. And so this morning we're going to look at some of the Proverbs that were written by the wisest guy ever, Solomon, about the Word of God itself, about why it's so important and some of the benefits of it. Now, in looking through, there are a lot of Proverbs about God's Word, and some of them provide warnings for people who ignore God's Word. There is Proverbs 13:13 talks about the fact that if you despise His Word, that He will destroy you. So we could kind of go that direction. There's, you know, another one in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. It says that if you don't listen to the Word of God, then God won't hear your prayers. That's kind of serious. Over in chapter 30, there's a verse that warns against adding to the Word of God. But what I want to look at this morning are the good things that happen, the positive reasons why we choose to make this book the center of how we do life, the center of what wisdom is all about. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3 for the first passage we're going to look at. Proverbs chapter 3, and we will be looking at verses 1 and 2, where he says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." It's interesting how Solomon regarded the law, the Torah, the Word of God, as being his personal law, as being God's law is my law, and I don't want you to disregard it, and here is why. Keep it. Let your heart keep my commands. Why? Because length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. If we take his word and we value it, here's this crazy promise that our days will be longer, that we will have more days, and that God will add peace to us. Length of days and long life sound like the same thing, right? Sounds like, oh, okay, so your longevity will be good. But length of days is distinct from the fact that you have many days. Length of days refers to the individual days in your life. Now, let me think about this. You've had some days that just seem like they just fly by. In fact, weeks and months where it's like, whoa, what happened to that year? But there are other days that you go, I wish this day would never end. This is so special. This is so valuable. I'm just loving life right now. And you wish you could even make the day longer. This happens to you when you go on vacation. You go on vacation, and it's like after a couple days, you finally relax. And then you're like, oh, it's going to be over before I know it. What Solomon's saying here is by reading the Word of God and really taking heed to it, valuing it, applying it to your heart, something happens to your days. They actually become longer. They actually become more spacious. The reason why days seem so short to us is because we try to cram too much stuff into every day. And that's what happens when you have no sense of priority. You have no sense of what really matters, so you think you're going to make up for it on volume. You think, well, I have a ton of stuff I have to do. And so you try to cram everything into your day. What the Word of God does is it helps you to know what matters and what doesn't. God leads us in order to find the things that are most important. And what happens is, if we are paying attention to His Word, we begin to create some spaciousness in our lives. We begin to sense the fact that, wow, I'm not so overwhelmed. I am not just so inundated that the day just flashes by like that. I see space. My life, it has meaning. I can take the time to do the things that matter. For those of you who have struggled with depression, you know what it feels like when you're depressed. You tend to wake up in the morning and go, I just did this. It feels like I just got up yesterday and boom, here we are today. Because so many times we allow ourselves to get into a state of mind where there's nothing there that really makes a lot to us, and yet the days just keep flying by. It feels like Groundhog's Day, where it's like, whoa, here we are again. But as we study His Word, as we listen to what He says and begin to put it into practice, we ought to witness in our lives this way of creating space in our days so that those days feel like, wow, this was a good day. This was a great day. I wasn't rushing through everything, trying to do everything. I had a sense of what mattered, and I got done what matters most. And therefore, I can feel good about this day, and I can sit down towards the end of it and relax and look back and reflect on everything that God did today. So, I mean, doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you like to have days that aren't crammed full, but instead they're, you know, longer days, almost like, you know, when with Joshua, when God actually stopped the day, it looked to them like the sun stopped in the sky, but in actuality, He did something to make the day longer. Sometimes you can make your day longer just by not doing a bunch of the things that are chewing up your day that don't really matter. But He promises, you take this book and you begin to apply it in the way that you live, and all of a sudden, you'll create time. You will create space in your life. And that sounds good. But also, length of days and long life. You know, studying the Bible and applying it to your life can actually make you live longer. Now, again, with all of these proverbs, it's not making a rule that is true in every case for all times. We all know there are some people who seem to die way too young. And they just, you wish they could have more days, and it would seem like they should. And I don't always understand why that happens. Equally disturbing are people who just seem to live forever and don't deserve it. But in general, as we take the Word of God and we apply it, we should see our days change, and it'll actually keep you alive longer. There are so many times when people end up shortening their life because they're just not paying attention to the obvious things that God's Word says. Hey, if you do not live following His Word, you're probably going to end up being all stressed. You're probably going to do things that are unhealthy. You're going to reach out to coping mechanisms to help you get through the day that end up shortening your life. You're going to take risks that you don't need to take. And so Solomon goes, man, If you really do what God's Word says and you really spend time in it, you will live longer than you would if you didn't do that. But then finally, he says, not only length of days and long life, but peace. Isn't peace what everyone wants? Just to feel like you're not in a battle? Feel like you're not just striving and struggling all the time? Well, God's Word is something that when we live by it, when we focus on it, it can give us that sense of peace. Because so much of what he says in the Bible is designed, and you know, Jesus even said, I came that you would have peace. In the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. See, God wants us to be at peace. But when we are trying to wrestle and struggle with things and we don't understand what God's doing and we wish he would do it differently, we get all worked up. He says, when you study his word, a result of that ought to be a peace. Peace of God that passes understanding. The peace that's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And so his word can give that to us as well, and that's what everyone wants. So if you didn't think that the Bible was important, but you see that here God is telling us that if we really dig into this word and we study it and we live by it, we start to do the stuff that it says, you will find out that your days are better and you will have more of them and you'll be walking in peace and living in peace. So that's a pretty good start on why it's worth having the Bible being a part of your life. But let's turn over now to the other passage that we want to look at is in Proverbs 16 and verse 20. This is some more really radical truth about the Word of God. He says, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. He who heeds the word wisely, notice it's the word. It's not whoever gets the best advice from all over the place, whoever has the best psychology, whoever has the best, you know, pop do-it-yourself help stuff, whoever has the best worship, whoever prays the most, whoever does. No, it's heeding the word of God wisely. This is where the promises lie. This is the center of having the life that God wants you to have. But it isn't just knowing the word. He doesn't just say, if you study the word and understand it, then you will have these benefits and you'll be happy. And in fact, I can prove that that wouldn't be true if he had said that. Because some of the people I know who have studied the Bible the hardest are some of the most miserable people I've ever known. I've known a couple of people who have memorized the entire Bible. They could say every verse of the Bible. There are a lot of people who can do that, but I've known two of them in particular, and they were so miserable. They were so unhappy. One of them just spends his whole life going out picketing everywhere against everything. And you look at it and go, wow, you can really know a lot about the Bible and still be very, very unhappy. And that's certainly true. But it's the person who heeds, who really listens to the Word of God wisely. The idea there is not to just take the Bible and expect it to magically, automatically change everything in your life, but it's taking wisdom and applying it to the Word, really digging down deep and understanding it. It's why we don't just race through the Bible. Okay, have we finished? Whew, there, we're done. But the Bible is meant to be meditated on, to be considered and thought over and chewed on and reflected on. Reading the Bible correctly means you need to understand the history behind it, the language, the people involved, the context immediately, the overall context of the word. Studying the Bible is hard work if you really want to understand it correctly. Taking his wisdom from it, though, is something that, and then if you're going to actually do it, wow, that does amazing things in your life. Ultimately, by the way, if you're unhappy, you might want to look at this and ask yourself, how much am I really obeying and applying God's word in a wise way? How much of my life is about his word and how much of it is spent in other things and other activities? Happiness is something that if you're doing the Bible and life right, happiness will be a result of that. Now, he also says, though, whoever trusts in the Lord. happy as he. Trusting God is something, well, first let me back up, because he says, if you heed the word wisely, you will find good. It's easy to just brush over those two words. But today, to find good, how amazing would that be? Finding bad is easy today. If you just want to look around and find everything that's wrong in the world, oh, there's plenty of it there to focus on. But here's the thing. If you believe in the God of the Bible, then you believe that he is working. And since you believe that he is working and you believe he is good, you should be able to see signs of good things that God is doing all the time. Anyone can point out what's wrong in the world. And we sometimes exaggerate that. And part of it is because we really don't understand what God says in his word. If you are studying the Bible and it doesn't lead you to find good, then you're studying it wrong. You're missing something. You're being foolish about its interpretation. I always think this is so. There are some people who all they see are the bad things, and you hear them make wild statements. This morning on my way to church, I was listening to a sports talk radio station, and this guy said, "Racism is the worst it's ever been." I'm like, "You ever hear of slavery? You ever hear of all of human history, even?" It's, you know, there are things that are bad right now, but you can't even compare to what the way things have been previously. Now, you know, it may look like that. Depends on who you are. If you're a white person and you went back and into the 60s and you saw that African Americans had their own drinking fountain and bathroom, you might go, "Eh, they seem fine with it." You want to go back into the 1800s and you'd see slaves and you're like, "They look like they're having fun. They're singing songs, they're dancing." It's like, it depends who you are as to how you judge things. But when you see what God has to say, and if you really parse it correctly and understand it, you will end up, instead of focusing on the things that are wrong, you'll end up focusing on everything that's right. And we are pretty blessed in our lives. There's so much good that God's doing. There are a lot of times I listen to what Christians are talking about. Oh, you know, the sky is falling like Chicken Little. And I think, is there anything good? Or is this whole world just awful, going down the tubes? Poor God, he's losing it. And if we don't get together and give enough money and organize and push and pull, then God's just sunk. He's just done. When you read the Bible, you discover God's actually doing a lot. There is a lot of good. Now, it's not always obvious. And that's why he says, you will find good. You'll find good when you look for it. If you just sit there and listen to whatever is the loudest, whatever the news media is screaming about today, or whatever unhappy people are complaining about right now, okay, you're going to find plenty of bad. But the challenge in this world, because if we follow God, and therefore we are telling people, hey, God is real, Jesus is alive, well, where's the evidence of that? When all they hear from Christians is usually everything that's wrong, and oh, we're going down the drain, and man, back in the good old days, it was different than this. We need to look for and find good. You're not going to find it in the news. You're not usually going to discover it on the internet. You may not find it by talking to different people. You look in his word, and you see the truth, and what God says he is doing today, that the reason why the world is the way it is because he's patient toward us, not only that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What's happening today in the world is God is saving people. Jesus is forgiving people. That's a good thing. It's way more important than anything else that's bad that you might see. Now, we might look at society today and say, oh man, they're saying really bad things about Christians. They may take away our tax-exempt status. They may begin to persecute Christians. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How about understanding this, that in history, the greatest times for the spread of the gospel were under evil governments that were trying to subvert everything that Christians would care about, who were really trying to persecute people. Well, the truth is, if all I care about is my comfort, if all I care about is I just want leaders who help me to be an easier Christian, then I'm ignorant. of what God's Word says, of what we saw historically throughout history in the Bible, and what we've seen in our world. Take a look at the church in China under the evil regime of communism. It flourished. As soon as they started giving more freedom to churches, it kind of got, well, like our churches. Finding good is going, you know what? No matter what is bad, there's going to be an undercurrent of what God is doing, and I want to find that, and I want to see that. Why? Because then, instead of being miserable and whining about how wrong everything is, I can have that peace that His Word provides, and I actually find happiness. Why? Because, as He says there in verse 20, I can trust God. You can listen to what your attitude is about what's happening in the world, and it's obvious and apparent whether or not you trust God. You present a problem, and I ask you, has God dealt with that kind of stuff before? Is God faithful? Does He do what He says He's going to do? That is, He will always be there for His people. And if the answer is, yeah, God has a pretty good track record. He has a habit of being right all the time, and He works through even bad things. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean there isn't bad stuff there. That's why we need Jesus to come back. That's why Jesus came the first time. But as we find good, and then we realize God can be trusted. So often when people come to me and they're like, oh, you know what's going on in the world? The sky is falling. Oh, Christianity's falling apart. You know, there's going to be no Christians left. They're going to come down in our churches and they're going to... It's like, do you trust God at all that He is able to do something? Can you see the good that He is doing now? And God's Word is what does that. It lifts us out of our modern news cycle. It takes us away from whatever it is that people are all worked up about on the internet. And if do they still have newspapers? I don't know. But, you know, TV news and everything else. And it goes, wait, look at this. Here is a history of thousands of years of God being consistent, of God being in control, of God working. And as I read this, I trust Him. And when I trust Him, I can relax. It'll probably lengthen my life just from the anxiety lowering, as He says in Proverbs 3, the peace that comes. Because now I can look and go, I know something that some people don't know, that God is working today, that God is working now. And the more I study His Word, the more I'm reminded of His faithfulness. And the more that I can therefore go, I'm happy.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB. For a donation of $10 or more, you'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Here with a concluding thought about the Word of God, Pastor Dave once again.
If I listen to it, if I meditate on it, I think about it and I begin to put it into practice, I actually can become a little better. It's never going to make me perfect, by the way, because I'm not going to be perfect until I die, go to be with Jesus, and boom. Then he heals me of everything that's wrong with me. But in the meantime, I'm kind of glad that I have a book that will regularly make corrections in my life. But if you read the Bible and you look at it for how can it correct other people? It's never going to help you. It's never going to end up making you happy either. It's never going to do what it says that it can do until you realize, when I open the Bible, I better be ready for it to get personal. I better be ready for it to poke and prod me in places where I'm not comfortable.
More about the wonderful Word of God next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Roth, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and